Found it. Now I messed it up. My bad. It's good to see y'all.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Feels good to be seen. Right? Amen. Well, how was those meetings this weekend? Right? Man, they was excellent, wasn't they? Man. I forgot my iPad. I apologize. It's kind of a mad dash once I get off work. And I forgot it. And now, whatever. Moving along. All right. We're just going to do it and go with it. Amen. We'll go ahead and pray and get into it. Father God, I love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to gather around your word and to be able to feed our faith, Father God. I thank you, Father God, it's the faith that you gave us. It's your faith. It's the same faith that created this entire world. You gave us a measure of it. And Father God, and then you gave it to us and you said, hey, if you want to grow it, you got the ability to grow it and do just super abundantly. Whatever your faith can go after, you'll be able to obtain it. And so, Father God, we thank you for that opportunity and that chance to be able to grow our faith, to feed our faith on the word and to grow it and to go after it. And Father God, we love, thank you, and praise you for this tonight. Bring forth this evening, Father God, things that you would have not only for the congregation but also for myself, Father God. I thank you, Father. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Amen. And I thank you, Father God, that this word will come forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside force. And I thank you for it, praise you for it. Everybody agreed, said,
amen.
Amen. I'm going to take a drink of water.
Okay.
Thank you. You can go ahead and turn over to, let me find a place. Let's go to Matthew 8, please. Matthew 8. Displays. Yes, sir. Thank you. There, we got it. Let me get over there in this. Matthew 8, verse 26. I'm going to read a couple things to you real fast. Faith begins. I've said it a few times, but we know it, right? Faith begins where the will of God is known, correct? So then, if you don't know that it's the will of God, can you have faith for it?
No, sir.
Negative. Because faith begins where the will of God is known, correct?
Yes, sir.
And never forget that whatever has your focus affects your faith.
Yes.
Amen. And then I looked up focus, and I went through quite a few different definitions. Then I found one that I really like, and it said the point at which an image is formed. The point at which an image is formed. Amen. And that's you stare, you constantly meditate, stare at, if you stare at the news long enough, they'll have you living in a bunker afraid for everything about you.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Matthew 8, verse 26. I'm going to read it at King James first. It says, and he said unto them, why what?
Are you fearful,
right? Mm-hmm. Actually, go back up to verse 23, we'll start at 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Say disciples. So how many was it? More than one, yep. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Who is he?
Jesus.
And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye what? Fearful. And then he says, O ye of little what?
Faith.
What does that mean, O ye of little faith? simply put, it means that at this moment in time, your faith has been tested and you have come up short. Simply, ye little faith simply means that at this moment in time, your faith has been tested and you have come up short.
That's right.
Right? Turn over to James real fast, please. James 1. Obviously. James 1, verse 3. I'm gonna read it out of a few translations. Amplified Classic says, "Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience." Right? And then the Passion, it says, "For you know that For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things." All right? And then actually, there's quite a few right here I wanted to read. Can you pull it up in the NIV, please? Here's a few of them. The CEV, it says, "You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested."
Yep.
Then the CJB says, "For you know that the testing of your trust produces perseverance."
Yep.
That the Amplified already read it. The ASV says, "Knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience." Right? Then The Phillips says, "When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let them, let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence."
Yes.
Amen. That's always good, right? The NIV says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Amen. The NLT says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow."
Amen.
Amen. You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, right?
Amen.
And then I read the Amplified Classic to you, and it said endure or endurance, right? So I looked that up, and a few of the definitions, one of them was stamina, and then staying power, and then the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Then the Noah Webster said, "Without sinking or yielding to the pressure."
Amen.
Without sinking or yielding to the pressure. You know, it's like whenever we was in high school, and they'd all, you know, like, "Boys, I bet you won't spit this spit wad at somebody," you know. And then they, "Oh, you got to do it." And then all the pressure's on, so you got to do it, right?
Pretty much.
Then I looked up steadfastness, and it says the quality of being, I can't even read my own handwriting. Yeah, being resolutely or that word, firm and unwavering. It also means firmly fixed in place. Steadfastness, firmly fixed in place.
Yes.
I'm saying all that because we're going to go back to a few scriptures real fast. Go back to Mark 4, please. Mark 4. Say amen when you get there. Mark 4, start about verse 35. It says, "And the same day when the eve was come, he said unto them," what? Who said that?
Jesus.
Who's he talking to?
Us.
Not us, his disciples. Because we're not in a boat with him right now, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Let us. So Jesus is telling his disciples to what? Get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. Correct? Everybody awake this evening?
Yes.
Thank God. Because if not, I got some water I could throw at you. No, I'm joking. It's okay to laugh. You know that, right? You'll be all right. We'll get through. He said, and the same day when the eve was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Say full.
Full.
And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And what did he do? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Correct?
Yes.
Amen. In verse 40 he said, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? But verse 39 it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind. I wrote here in my margin right here, I wrote, it's interesting that Jesus got up and spoke to the problem before he even recognized any of them. He didn't say anything to anybody. He got up and took care of the problem or the situation. And so just me, you know, thinking about it, I was like, well, I wonder why he did do that. And then I was like, well, maybe if they're all frantic, worried, and just downright just scared, obviously, because they're telling him, we're dying.
Right.
You don't care about any of us.
Right.
Right? So he didn't want anything that was affecting them at that moment to affect him.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
You know, it's interesting that us as parents, we watch real closely who our kids hang out with, don't we?
Right.
Don't we? It's amazing. We watch. We make sure we're paying attention who they're hanging out with every single day. Why? Why do we do that? Because of the influence of the other people, especially if the other people are just buck wild. Right? Is that how we want our kids acting? No. You know, doing things, getting arrested and all this stuff. Is that who we want our friends, our kids to hang out with? It's interesting, right? But yet, as grown-ups, we'll allow ourselves to hang out with anybody. Well, that's not hurting me. Well, okay. But I know this, even at work sometimes, if you hang out with somebody that complains all the time, even if you're not a complainer, you hang out with them long enough, you'll start sounding just like them. You ever notice that? So I wonder if that's why Jesus just got up and took care of the situation. He didn't have time to listen to them. I don't want what y'all have affected me. Right? Amen. And he also told them, why don't y'all have any faith? That's also another interesting statement. Well, let's go to real fast. Sorry. Go over to Luke 8 real fast, please. We'll go to that one. Say amen when you get there. I beat you, just so you know. And it's always a race. Yes, yes. Luke 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went, who is he? Jesus. Jesus went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, what? And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and they came down, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with, water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing, right? And then verse 25, it says, where is your faith?
Yeah.
Where is it at? Before I make this next statement, let me read a few things to you real fast, please, if you don't mind. No, I don't. Go ahead. Thank you. So, a few things. The disciples' faith or trust was in their circumstances.
Yes,
amen.
The storm rather than God's word, correct?
Yes.
Because what was God's word? What was God's word? What was the storm's word?
Your
Amen.
You're going to die. Because, see, they sounded just like the storm.
Yes, amen. Yes.
The storm said, you're going to die, and so that's where they got it from.
Yes.
We're going to die.
Yes.
And Jesus had already told them that they would reach the other side. He told them ahead of time, hey, we're going to the other side.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't say, hey, let's try to get to the other side.
No.
Hey,
no.
One day maybe, God willing, we'll get there. Amen. He did say it, and that's why they made it to the other side. And that's why he was so confused, is why they didn't think that they were going to make it,
right,
regardless of the storm or not. See, there's a lot of times God will tell us to do things, and then a storm or problems or situations will start popping up, and then we'll be like, well, maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe God didn't want me to do this. No, Satan don't want you to do it, and he's trying to make you back up from it. Amen. And if we don't go off of what God's word said, because just like Peter, when he said, hey, if it's you, God, Jesus, bid me come out there. What did Jesus say?
Come.
Yeah. Come. One word, and he walked on the water.
Yeah.
One word. And we got a book full of it. Amen. Let us go over to the other side of the lake, right?
Yeah.
And then in verse 24, is this I'm going out? The problem? Awesome sauce. In verse 23 and 24, they panicked. They panicked. They panicked.
Yes.
They panicked.
Yeah.
How many times have we panicked? Well, God, I thought you said. And then it says, behaving as though they would sink and drown in the storm. I won't say that. Amen. How could they die? Earlier, the Lord told them that they would reach the opposite shore, correct?
Right.
Yes.
They should have trusted him. But the storm grabbed their focus and sidetracked them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I agree. Then he says, "Or where was their focus? Their focus, it wasn't on God, but it was on the troubles.
Yes.
Right? You can always tell somebody's focus. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. Amen. Because, I mean, if you're somebody just talking about their troubles all the time, what are they focused on? If somebody's talking about how they're sick all the time and this hurts and they can't pay any bills and the bank's going to take everything, where's their focus at? Amen. And that's why God gave us the word. That a way we could get through any situation that would try to come up against us.
Yes. Amen.
Just like with them in the boat.
Yep.
He said, look, guys, we're going to the other side. Let's go. They was like, all right, let's go. Let's make it happen, Captain. They get in the boat. Jesus is like, I'm tired, been preaching all day. I'm going to go take a nap. Yeah, go ahead, you good? We got it. We're just gonna float across this to the other side. And then they're going, and then... Because y'all know who Peter is, right?
Yeah.
What'd he do for a living?
He's a fisherman.
So he owned his own business?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. All of them owned their own. But anyways, moving along. Yeah. <all right. laughs> Amen. So he was a fisherman. And back then, I'm sure that his family were also fishermen.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
I mean, because back then you kind of followed what your parents did, correct?
Amen.
And so there was a whole line of people that fished. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. I agree. And so they're going along. Jesus is asleep. They're going to the other side. And then all of a sudden there's a storm. I'm sure Peter has seen storms like this before.
Amen.
And I wonder if ever in his life that, you know, either his dad or his grandparents told him stories about how his great-great uncle or his great-great grandpa or whatever got into a storm and died.
Right. Amen.
Or I wonder if they ever seen a storm come up out there on the water and then they just started seeing some ships go down and those storms kind of look like this one that's coming at us.
Right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we got to think about it, right? Because how did they go from let's get to the other side to we're about to die, Jesus, and you don't care about none of us?
Right.
Because there's got to be a process. You don't just go from loving somebody to hating them in 3 seconds. You don't. That something's got to happen. They got to offend you. They got to make you mad. They got to do something to you. And then you switch, correct?
Yes.
But this, Jesus asleep. Yeah. He ain't done nothing to them. He said, we're going to the other side. They said, okay.
Yeah.
But Peter, this is what he's did his whole life.
Yeah.
This is, he fished. He lives on the water.
Yeah.
I'm sure other ones did.
Right.
So I wonder if this storm looked like a bunch of other storms they might have seen before. That maybe killed some people. And so I wonder if before the storm even got to them, they were already defeated, or the thought was already placed, man, that I've seen this kind of storm before. You know what? I've seen that color of cloud before. Y'all, hey, y'all remember that, right? Whenever Joe was out there in the boat, y'all remember, look, it's the same exact color. Joe was just going, and then he's gone, died. Him, his whole family, everybody. Because let's be honest, that's what a lot of people sound like. You know, my third cousin had that same disease, died. Well, thanks. Why in the world would I ever invite you back to my house to talk to me again? But, I mean, I'm sure they were talking about it before the storm ever even hit them. Because that thought is there. Satan's going to make sure of it. And then, you know, a thought never spoke out dies unborn, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. So see, they had to give sound to it. They had to say it, obviously. But if Satan, he gave them the thought, y'all remember that? Look at this storm. This thing is bad. Look at the waves already. It's getting huge. That wind's probably blowing 300 miles an hour. I don't know anybody that's ever got out of this kind of storm. Fellas, maybe we should start heading back. So, well, go ask Jesus what we should do. And that's the same way that the world acts sometimes. Well, just people in general. Because it's like when you go to the doctor and all of a sudden he tells you, well, you got an incurable blood disease or you got an incurable disease. I mean, that tends to flatten people's tires sometimes,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
But if we're constantly meditating on the Word and we know what God's will is,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Then we know how to respond to it.
Yes.
We know how to act when that tries to present itself to us, correct?
Yeah.
And then also thinking, you know, Jesus, like, where's y'all's faith at? What happened between the bank and here? What really happened? Because we was doing awesome. And then he's probably questioning them. Y'all are with me every single day.
Right.
Y'all are constantly hearing the Word preached. So that lets me further know that people can read the Bible and get absolutely nothing out of it. People can read the Bible and walk away the exact same way they were when they walked up to it.
Right?
Because what does Romans 8:17 say? Faith, well, let's turn over there then. No, I said 8. It's 10, sorry. 10:17. So then faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing and what?
Hearing.
By the Word of God. But it's not just hearing. Because that's exactly what the disciples did.
Right?
Right? And so it's whatever you're hearing and can believe qualifies for faith, correct?
Yes.
It does, because just hearing it's not going to produce nothing in you if you don't believe it. Because you could tell me that you caught the biggest fish in the world, but if I really don't believe it, I don't believe you. But if I believe it, you got ground to stand on then, correct? Because if you think about it, they are around Jesus all the time, and then the miraculous has happened constantly. And they're seeing it every single day. Every single day. And that's why he probably got a little bit aggravated. He's like, how do y'all still not have any faith? How? You're with me every single day. You're hearing the word because Jesus is the what?
The word.
The word.
Right.
You hear it every day. How is it that y'all, nothing's even grown in you? How is it that every time a little circumstance pops its head up, you fall down? How come every hard thing that comes up, you just bow to it? You just fall back from it? You know? Why? Why be like that? What's the point in that? Seriously. What if an army acted like that? Look at David. David spent time, obviously, with God because he played on his harp out with the sheep, correct? And then a bear came. What'd he do to the bear? What'd he do to the lion? And then he's still out there spending time just worshiping God, watching the sheep. And then, you know, his dad comes up. It's like, hey, your brothers, they've been out there for a long time. This battle probably should have already happened. They probably should have already killed some people. What's going on? Go out there and take them some more food. Because I didn't give them that much food. So they're probably running out of food right now because they've been out there a lot longer than what we anticipated,
right?
And so he goes out there and he looks at them. He's like, what are y'all doing? Why is everybody in this army hiding behind their tents? Because he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't call him Goliath. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine, somebody not having a covenant with God. And that also means that if you're not saved, then you don't qualify for faith. That's just the word. That's just how it is. I don't want to say that's just how it is, but that's the reality of it. I guess is how I should say. And so he's like, why? What got into y'all that got y'all so fearful? What? How did this guy that's saying that he's going to kill all of us or kill somebody? How did that get y'all so fearful? What in that whole deal just made y'all flip over and just give up? Yeah. That entire army was hiding in their tents,
right. Correct?
Yeah, they were. And so he went out and he said, look, I'm going to kill you with this slingshot. No, you're not. You're just a little kid. Shut up and go home and go play with Tonka toys or something. He's like, well, first off, your mama, I'm going to kill you, right? That's Ricky translation, you know? So he said, I'm going to kill you. It's going to happen today. He said, well, bring it on, snowflake. All right, let's get it. So he went and killed him, correct?
Yes.
Did he allow fear from everybody else in that camp to affect him?
No.
Sounds a lot like Jesus whenever they're telling him, we're about to die right now, and you're just sleeping. You don't care about anybody.
Yeah.
Shut up, and everything stopped. And then he looked at him. You're with me every day.
Right.
Every single day you got the word in front of you. How is it that you haven't even been able to grow a little bit of faith? At least if one of y'all don't have enough faith to speak to it, all of y'all could have got together. Because it said disciples, and I'm assuming it's more than one or two. So, I mean, think about it. So every single one of them really just fell off the deep end. Because it probably started with one of them. Man, y'all remember that storm that I told y'all about that my uncle's cousin died from? This kind of looks like it, fellas. And then another one will pop up. You know, I remember Phyllis. They tried to go through a storm like this too, and they died. And then another one. You remember Cousin Johnny? Cousin Johnny was out there in a paddle boat, flipped over, drowned. And so they just started feeding off of each other, just like we feed off of each other, you know, in everything else. Correct? And if we're not feeding off the word, we're going to be feeding off of doubt, lack, and unbelief. Go over to Psalm 78, please. We'll go to verse 41. You ready? I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion. It says, again and again, they limited God, preventing him. Say preventing.
Preventing.
What does preventing mean?
Stopping.
Stopping. Not allowing.
Yep.
Preventing him from blessing them.
Yeah.
See, something he wanted to do,
yep,
they said no to. Continually they turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel.
Yes.
Again and again they limited God. Again and again they limited God, correct?
Yes.
That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
And that's kind of like what they did. Their focus wasn't on God, but their focus was on their troubles. Their focus went from getting to the other side to we're about to die.
Yes.
Because as soon, it's, I mean, y'all remember reading it, it said that the wind and the lake and they were filled. What does that mean?
Yeah.
So they fought it for a little while.
Yeah.
You got a few of them probably trying to throw water out.
Yeah.
A few other ones probably fighting over in the corner because I told you to wake up Jesus. I'm not waking him up. So they're fighting. Because as soon as fear hits, fear doesn't roll alone. Fear's not there, just there by itself talking about what's up, guys. Y'all about the cutest things I ever seen, too, by the way. Over there looking like Twinkies. sidetrack, sorry. I squirreled it right there, man. Wow. What was I saying? Oh, fear, yeah. Yeah, because then there's going to be anger. There's going to be defeat. There's going to be giving up. There's just everything else that's not producing good, but evil is there with it. Because fear, once you hit fear, everything is impossible. Nothing we can do. This is it. We have to die. There is no physical way we can get out of this. But yet they were with Jesus every single day watching the miraculous happen, correct?
Yes.
Y'all remember Bishop Oedipo? He constantly fed on the Word of God. Constantly. He still does. Because y'all remember he said after he got home one day from working, well, pastoring probably working at the church, he got home one day and sat down at the table and his wife came up to him and said, you know, I got to tell you something. Well, let me start over. His wife that morning, she was pregnant and she had the signs of a miscarriage. Went to a doctor. He confirmed it. You've had a miscarriage, right?
Yes.
So she goes home. He gets home, sits down at the table. She says, I got to tell you something. He's like, okay, what's up? She said, I had a miscarriage. He looks at her and says, I can't believe it. I just knew something bad was going to happen. Because everything's been going way too good for us right now. He said, it cannot happen.
Right.
Now, where does he get that? How did he get to that point?
Faith,
yeah. Obviously feeding. But what would I have done in that situation, I guess I should ask. Hey, we got another bill due. I don't know where this bill came from. You're going to have to get a job. Those were my exact words, remember? Because it's whenever she stopped working up at Laughlin or she quit because we was opening the salon or whatever. And we had a bill that was unexpected come in and I was just working at the time. And she told me, hey, we got this. I said, well, you're going to have to get a job. You know, how are we going to do this? All my focus went straight from God.
Yes,
see, I started limiting God. As soon as I said that, I limited him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See, I handcuffed him because he had the answer, but I didn't want the answer.
Yeah.
I wanted it, but I didn't allow myself to receive it.
Yeah.
What I said was, you're going to have to go by another way. God's not big enough to produce an answer for us on this situation right now. So we're going to have to go to man. You know, man, the being that actual God created, we're going to have to go ask him how to get out of this, but not God, because I know God created man, but this is way too big for God. Maybe man can figure it out. Right? Which once you start thinking about it, it's like, are you crazy? There was this one minister. He said that growing up, you know, obviously he wasn't saved. Going through school, he was making a D was failing, I think. And he was actually, the teacher, we gave you 2 points to get a C minus because, you know, we don't want you to be here anymore. Pretty much what they told him. And he said he ended up, so that just lets you know he's not doing too good in school, correct? So he said he got saved, and he said after he got saved, he said, I could read anything and memorize it word for word. He said the teachers actually would have me read a chapter in the book. I'd get up in class and recite it. He said I never had that ability until I got saved, though. He said there's so much that that Christians are just looking past, because I mean, once we get saved, that's the life of God on the inside of us. So, and so that means that the same ability that God has belongs to me. Yeah. And so he started operating out of that. He figured out it's not just being saved and missing hell. That's good, right? Yes.
Amen.
But there's so much more to being saved. There's so much more that God wants to give to us. Correct? Y'all remember the three Hebrew children? They said, look, we don't have to eat your food. We don't have to do none of that. God's, we'll have this handled. And they ended up going to class with everybody else, but coming out on the backside, they were 10 times smarter than everybody else. Everybody else. They had to start teaching the teachers. But I found that interesting, that as soon as he got saved, that he had that ability. It truly is. It's the life of God on the inside of us. If we realize it, you know, and if we accept it and go with it. But Bishop Oedipo, he told her, he said, it cannot happen. Pass me my food, please. And what happened? They had a baby.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she didn't have one. Well, a doctor confirmed and said, you've had a miscarriage.
Right.
Y'all remember Dr. Bill Winston's wife, y'all remember, he was going to college. And he, up there in Tulsa, he's going to college. So his wife didn't have a job either. And he was using the car to go to school, correct? And so she said, you know what? Him and her got together. He said, figure out what kind of job you want, where you want the job at, what you want to get paid, what kind of office you want, if you want a company vehicle. And she said, all right. And so they got together and they wrote it down on a 3x5 card of everything that she wanted in a job. Everything.
Yes.
Down to the desk facing whatever direction.
Right?
Right? And then what did she do about it? And see, that's where Jesus said, what happened to the faith that you had? I know you had to have some because you're with me every single day.
Right.
Or yes, why didn't you take advantage of that? Because you are with me every day.
Right?
Right? Yeah. And so she had put down... You remember he said that he'd go to the bathroom, lift up the toilet lid, and there'd be a 3x5 card confirming exactly what she was believing God for. It'd be a scripture right there.
Yeah.
He said, everywhere in my house was little cards taped on the wall, inside the fridge, in the bathroom, in the bed, under pillows, in the lamps.
Right.
What was she doing?
She's
creating an atmosphere to be able to produce what she's believing God for.
Yeah.
See, and if we're constantly... Let's just be honest. Some of the news stations just—they depress you.
Right.
They depress you and think that everybody's dying tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. So if I constantly have that and I'm feeding on that, that's producing nothing but fear, anxiety, worry. I don't know what we're going to do. We're probably not going to make it. But if I get the scripture like that. And that's what I found interesting, is that she constantly had that around the house, in everywhere in her house.
Yes.
See, whenever you're hungry for whatever you're believing God for, you'll do crazy things.
Yeah.
Well, what people call, some people call crazy. But it produces the results that you want, though.
Yes.
So how is it actually crazy if it produces what you're wanting?
Right?
Right? Amen. And so, I guess I'll finish the story, sorry. So, a few months down the road, she got a call. And it was, I forget who it was, the company, but they called her, said, you know, she got the job. It was just 5 minutes or 10 minutes down the road. She got an office, her own desk. She got a company car. And this company actually came from overseas. So the faith, what is faith? Hebrew, according to Hebrews 11:1. There we are. Let's turn over to it then. Hebrews. Say amen when you get there, please.
Amen.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. The evidence. The evidence. Faith is evidence. Faith is evidence of things not seen. Right? Amen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. We won't go there. Amen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Correct? So faith obviously produces stuff. And how do we get faith? And then if you look over at chapter 10, right here, verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of what? Without doing what? For he is faithful that what? Promised. He is faithful that promised. But let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. What is that? That is constantly just meditating on it every single day, regardless of what the situation looks like. So once you start believing God for stuff, look, whenever we was in Iraq, the guys knew we'd go out on patrol. I'd pray right before we left. Why? Because that's what protected me. Amen. And I learned that. It took a while, but I figured it out. And so, we hit a few IEDs. But the IED would never blow up on my vehicle.
Amen.
Ever. And I'd drive over it. Y'all remember that night I was on patrol? Y'all remember the Christmas lights that are twisted? They take the lights off, put two pieces of metal on there. That way all they got to do is touch and the IED goes off. Right? I guess y'all don't remember. You wasn't there. But we're on patrol one night, rolling out. I'm in the front. And I walk up and then... The lieutenant's like, Ricky, come here. And then at the time, he was my squad leader. He's like, go. Or I couldn't understand what they were saying. And I was going, what? Because it was nighttime. We had our nods on. And I'm like, what? And so I walk back to him. I walk over there. I'm like, what? What's going on? They's like, you don't know what you just did? No. What? You don't see that IED right there in the middle of the road? And it was that Christmas wire. And so all I had to do was step on it, and we'd all been toast. But I have quite a few stories like that. It was fun and interesting. But we made it through it. We made it through it because I believed God that he would get me safely through that whole situation. But see, every single day, if I would have looked at the situation and allowed that to dictate to me what I'm going to believe, then I would have sank. Because see, Jesus told him, said, what did he tell him?
We're going to be
What did he tell them? He said, we're going to the other side, correct? What did Jesus tell them? So see, they were going to the other side. In their faith, yeah, we got it, Jesus, we're going to the other side, regardless of the situation, regardless of what the doctor says, we're going to the other side. They got in the boat and they're rolling out. As soon as a problem popped up, we ain't got it. We ain't got it, we're going to fail, this is it, we're dying. Right? But if we just stay with it, if we constantly affirm what God said to us, what is that doing? That's constantly getting in the Word and feeding on it and allowing it to get on the inside of you, right? Because the Israelites, what they do, every single day they seen the miraculous, because first off, they walk by fire at night and a cloud by day. That way God could cover them during the day. I don't know if y'all ever been over there in the desert. It's hot. Bad. And they didn't even know what sunscreen was back then. But yet they had a cloud. And so they seen the miraculous every single day because God had to feed them manna.
Yes.
Well, he didn't have to. He chose to. He gave them manna. And then they complained about manna. Oh, this is all we got to eat. I need some meat. Please, God, give us some meat. Right? And then if you read in the message, it talks about that the quail flew in waist deep.
Yeah.
A lot of birds. Yeah. Y'all know quail, they're this big. But yet in Psalms, we read it a second ago, 78, it says again and again, what'd they do? Limited. Look, that's as far as you can go, God. I really don't think that you can handle this one.
Come on.
Doctor says this is it. The bank called, they're getting a house tomorrow. Right, and so if we allow situations like that, because trust me, some of those things are hard.
Right.
Yes.
They are hard to hear.
Right.
They really are. They are hard to kind of deal with, it feels like sometimes. But if you just stand your ground.
Yes, sir.
We had a bill, this is a couple years now. A few years, we had a bill pop up one day, and we was talking to the girls, and so we wanted to demonstrate to them how the Word of God operates. So we read Hebrews 1:14, right? And we read Job 28, yeah, decree a thing, 22:28, I believe. Decree a thing, and so it shall be established.
Yeah.
And so we put the bill down, and we said, all right, look. And we pointed at the bill. We said, all right, Father God, we thank you that this bill will be paid before Friday of this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. We left it alone and walked away. Thursday night, we got a call or something, and the money that we needed to pay that was there.
Amen.
So, and every single day, you know, you walk by it, and that bill starts talking to you. You ain't got the money.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get the money?
Yeah.
You're going to have to sell something.
Yeah.
You better go call somebody, ask them for a loan.
Yeah.
And if we're not rooted and grounded and established in the Word, then all of that stuff is going to be able to dictate to us what we're believing.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know that?
Yes,
sir. I know I'm kind of going over the same exact thing over and over, but it's good. We need it.
Amen.
We really do. Obviously, it's good. Well, it's just good to hear.
Right.
And so, I guess what I'm really wanting you to see is that obviously we get faith from the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God, and whatever we're reading and we believe, we qualify for faith, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then we don't need situations or don't allow situations to dictate to us what we're believing God for or making us back up from something. We've backed up too long.
Right.
We have. We need to be able to just stand our ground and stand with it.
Yes.
And, well, I just don't have that much faith. Well, we know where faith comes from.
Right.
And it's not magically going to show up on your front porch.
Right.
It's not. And your best friend's not going to be able to get faith for you. Your wife's not going to be able to get your faith for you. And your best friend ain't going to be able to get your faith for you.
Right.
It's on each one of us individually, correct?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I agree. Because the woman with the issue of blood, y'all remember?
Yeah.
It was it. You can't go out. You can't be around anybody.
That's right.
You got a, what is it? The blood disease, incurable blood disease. They don't know what it is. You can't be around nobody. But she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'm going to be healed today. Because I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm tired of messing with this. I will not mess with this any longer. Today is the day I will be healed. Correct? And so she walked out. But it's amazing that she had to walk out. She still had to do something. Correct? And so she did. Amen. We got to hold fast to the profession of our faith. Correct? Amen. I agree. One more thing. It says they had grasped such a small amount of or had limited insight into what Almighty God was saying to them and doing with them. Instead of holding fast His word, they began to look at circumstances, distresses, and distractions.
Yes.
They began to look at circumstances, distresses, and distractions.
Yes.
And then it says, through the eyes of human speculation. Amen. Disregarding God's word to them, doubting it, they trusted in their surroundings and not God. They trusted more in the situation that presented itself than what the word of God said. That's what it says. Right? Amen. Well, Father God, we love, thank you, praise you. Thank you, Father God, for your word this evening. Thank you, Father God, that we will continue to meditate on it, to chew on it, and to grow from it. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see everybody Sunday, maybe, possibly. Huh?